And welcome to the Access Hour on WORT Radio in Madison. Tonight, we're coming to you from the studio, but we're all here from the Wild Hog in the Woods Coffee House, located at the Wilmar Neighborhood Center here in Madison, Wisconsin, where we are celebrating 30 years of providing a folk music stage for local folk musicians, and as well as touring folk musicians, an occasional barn dance, and some other special events as well. With me this evening, going around the table, I have Lisa and Kim and Ben with me, and I'm going to let them introduce themselves as well so you can get to know who they are.
I'm Lisa Johnson. I'm a volunteer with Wild Hog in the Woods, and I've been number of different positions. I've been the baking coordinator. I've been a newsletter editor. I have been a cookie seller, musician, and a number of other things since 1984.
Great. Kim.
My name's Kim Gainick. I'm currently the coordinator at the Wild Hog, which means I line up volunteers for the performances. And I've been a set-up and take-down volunteer. I've learned to run the sound system, and I've emceed some of the shows. Lisa forgot to mention she was also the person who booked acts for the Wild Hog for a while.
Oh, yeah.
And a fine performer she is, and also a songwriter. I have played a couple open mics, which is one of the traditions we have between sets. But other than that, I haven't performed, and who knows, maybe someday I'll be a performer.
And how long have you been with us, Kim?
Oh, starting in 1986. Thanks.
My name is Ben Dorn, and I figure my hog birthday at somewhere between 93 and 94, and maybe that's just because that's as far as I want to count backwards right now. I am a baker, a performer, and sometimes I MC, and sometimes I lay out the sound equipment, but I don't put it together. And one other thing I'd like to share about Lisa Johnson is she's done some wicked hog decorations that we often get out for seasonal events. So they're quite cool when you come and visit us for special occasions and they're setting out at the table. That's who made those nice little sculptures. So.
And also with us is Ken Rainier, and he is operating in the control room for us today, all the microphones and the folk music that you hear behind us in the background. And Ken is one of our original founders at the Coffee House way back in the summer of 1978. They were organizing. Yeah, we're all clicking our pig hoofs here for Ken. And so we thank Ken for organizing the Access Hour for three times here in the last couple of months for the Wild Hog in the Woods Coffee House.
So is Ken one of the people to blame for the name?
Yes, he is. Yes, he's shaking his head, yes. And I'm Jamie Poindexter, and I've been with the Hog since almost the beginning, after the first, maybe right around the first coffee houses themselves, but I wasn't there for the original organizing and so forth. So I missed out on that part. I didn't see the posters or hear about it until they went up advertising the concerts, which were held at that time at 604 University Avenue, right there at the bus stop. The buses were always stopping outside the door. Exhaust would come pouring in, as well as the noise. But that didn't matter. We all had a good time back then. And we've moved around a couple of times, and we ended up at the Brook Street Y for a while, and more recently, and for a good half of our existence now, we've been at the Wilmar Neighborhood Center on Jennifer Street. And we have a coffee house every Friday evening, and usually it's around 8 o'clock, Kim, is it?
Right.
Uh-huh,
right.
For the start time, special events, different times and such like that. And for our 30th anniversary, we have some special events coming up. And Ben, would you like to just kind of talk a little bit about them here? We're ad-libbing here, so I'm just handing him the notes.
Sure. On Friday, November 7th, we have a birthday concert, and that's considered our special event, and we'll start early at about 7:30, featuring Peter and Lou Berryman, Ken Longquist, and last but not least,
Jim Schwall.
You go, Jim Schwall. And event is considered a special concert, so there's a little bit of change in the time, and so a little detail change there. Saturday, November 8th, is a brunch at 11 o'clock at Machinery Row at a fine restaurant.
Yeah, sardines.
Sardines.
Or sardine without an S.
Yeah,
right.
Yes,
they only have one
only
sardine.
One.
Yes. A small can. Mm-hmm. And then that evening is a barn dance at Grace Episcopal Church at, for the start time for that one. But anyway. And then,
7 o'clock.
And then Friday, November 21st, we have a birthday party, potluck, dinner, music jam, sing-along, and cake. Oh, that's going to go on for a long time.
And that's at where? The Wilmar Center.
Wilmar
at
Center.
The coffee house, yes.
And you could get to meet Philip the Pig himself.
That's right.
Yes, Kim, tell us about Philip the Pig.
Well, he is Philip the Second.
Actually, the Third.
Philip the Third.
Yeah.
He is a ceramic pig with a hole in his side, and he stands on the admissions table and collects tips for performers on concert nights. And we're an all-volunteer organization, and Philip is one of our volunteers, as is everybody who helps set up, run sound, do publicity, et cetera, and in general, the performers are volunteers in the sense that they play for tips that you can leave and fill up the hog. So they also fit the category of volunteers. Philip III, he's starting to show his age. He's lost all his tusks in one of his ears. But he's
still a fine fellow.
He is. Yes.
Right. He's not ready to retire yet. Mm-hmm. And in this economy, he probably can't afford to either.
And he was custom made by one of our members about pretty close to 20 years ago, I believe. Okay. Philip 1 and 2, they took a nosedive off of at least one at 604 University at the first location and one at the second location, off the sound system speakers as we were putting them away. After the show, and the first one took a nosedive at the admission table, I believe, as we were picking
it. It was a sad night.
It was. Both of them were, yeah.
You can read, if you come down to our special events, if you don't already have our 30th birthday newsletter, you can come down and pick up one of our newsletters as long as they remain available. And the story of the one that fell off the speaker is part of somebody's reminiscence. And among many other reminiscences that are in this special newsletter. So we want to encourage people to come down, and you can find out an awful lot about us tonight as well as Friday and Saturday, and if you come to those events.
You can also check out our website, and that's www.wildhoginthewoods.org. Real mm-hmm. simple. And Wild Hog in the Woods is all one word. Next time, let's do it in four-part harmony.
So it's www.wildhoginthewoods.org. Very good. Just to kind of elaborate on some of the things that Ben was talking about coming up this weekend, because I do have all the times here in front of me and so forth.
Okay.
There they are.
Yes. This Friday is the special birthday concert that Ben was mentioning, and that starts at 7:30 at the Wilmar Center. That's the at
953
block of Willie Street. It's an old brown church building.
It's actually on Jennifer Street.
Yeah, I'm sorry. What did I say?
Well, it's Willie, on the Willie corner.
Oh yeah, yeah, the Willie neighborhood
in
on Jennifer Street. You're right. Thanks for
and
that correction.
And there's plenty of parking right across the street. Nice big lighted lot.
Mm-hmm, parking lot. Mm-hmm. And then that brunch at Sardine Restaurant, it's in Machinery Row, there at the beginning of Willie Street, or what we call the beginning, at the west end of Willie Street. That's starting at 11 o'clock.
Right. And that Sardine Restaurant faces, it's on the Lake Monona side of mm-hmm. the old Machinery Row building.
Yeah, so you have to come around to the lake side of it to find it.
And there will be further details about that at the Friday night show, I believe.
Yes, there will be, and we actually have some hog members, at least one or two, that are coming back to town that have moved on to other places of the country. And I, off the top of my head, I'm remembering Eric is coming back to town. I can't remember who else for sure, but maybe Glenn from Minnesota might be coming back as well. We have to twist his arm some more yet. So we're really cool and fun people to hog around with, right?
I've met a lot of my best friends at the Hog, and it's been a really great fellowship experience, as well as the chance to listen to some up-and-coming folk musicians, well-established folk musicians, just starting folk musicians. I remember how grateful I've always been that I was allowed the opportunity to play, and I did think my first night that it might possibly kill me, but you know, I survived, and everybody was so nice. And I think that's one of the wonderful things about the Hog, is that we do encourage new musicians to come and play.
And if I can add to that, Lisa, we do have a tradition at the Wild Hog on our regularly scheduled 8 o'clock concerts that we schedule. Mm-hmm. In between the sets, we have the open mic. And that's a good time for people to come in and try out their acoustic material and get used to being in front of an audience. And we have had occasions where people have come in, done a song at the open mic, and if Ramona's there, who does the booking, if Ramona's there and she gets a sense that you really click with the audience, or that you've got some other, that you could really, you know, do a good show,
a sparkle,
she'll ask you if you want to do a set or a complete show and put you on the schedule. There are some times where she works like 4 months ahead. So we do encourage you to get a hold of Ramona and give her a call if you're interested in booking a show at the Wild Hog. And the other thing I wanted to...
How do you do that? How do you get a hold of her?
I have her number memorized.
Cool.
Well, let's give them the website. Also.
One more time.
All right. All right.
I don't know if we can give out phone numbers, Ken. Yeah, not...
Okay, all right. Oh. So check out the phone number.
It's on the website.
At the website.
www.wildhoginthewoods.org.
Well, it was almost four-part harmony.
We'll repeat that again in case you missed it.
The other thing about the space is that the sound quality in that room is just magic. There have been a number of performers who, for whatever reason, have just decided they're just going to play it unplugged. Or the other thing that will happen is people will come to the Hog and get a sense of the audience and how it's just gracious. I'm going to overuse that word probably. But they will try out new material.
Mm-hmm.
Or they will try out songs that they just practiced 3 days ago or that morning or whatever.
They just wrote it.
Or they just wrote it. And because of that, it's a very magic space. It's just a really cool space.
You know, I have a quote here from... one of the musicians that's played at the Hog, Fred Newman, and he has stated, over the last several years, the Hog has kindly offered a great venue for our band, which is called Round the Bend, to try out new material for folks who really appreciate the music. So that's a good example right there of groups coming in or single performers coming in and trying out new stuff, things that they've written themselves, and they want to try it on the public for the first time.
And the way the Hog is different from a lot of other venues is that it is a listening space. It's not just a coffee house where you have people talking in the background and, you know, the music isn't the focus. But at the Hog, the music is the focus. And the coffee is, although it's excellent, is rather secondary. And it's a listening space.
And the cookies and goodies are usually homemade, and it's a non-smoking environment, and family friendly at all times. But we also, at transition here, we also do some, during the year, we have some special concerts. We've done Train Night. We've done Woody Guthrie Night. We had some talk earlier about a gospel night. And we also have done some folks, David Egan and Mac Robertson, have hosted some youth run concerts that will start at 6:30 or 7 o'clock and run for 3 hours, and it's all youth performers. Those events have been very special. And then we've had a lot of sing-along nights where we all bring our Rise Up singing book or song lyrics, and if you're ambitious, you can make copies. Otherwise, the Rise Up singing book works as a great source.
We want to encourage performers to find out Ramona's contact numbers and stuff like that on our website, and if you're, especially we want to encourage young people. There is a group of young people who are interested in folk music, and a lot of them are really excellent musicians and singers and so forth, and we hear them at folk on state and places like that, and sometimes they come to the Wild Hog, but there are more of you out there, so that don't be shy because you're young. Don't be shy if you're older and you think people won't appreciate it. People appreciate a good effort. If it's your first time, a lot of people's first time has been on the stage at the Wild Hog. And it's interesting, sometimes, of course, you'll never hear of somebody again, but on the other hand, sometimes they'll become sort of famous. And, you know, one guy that used to play at the Wild Hog, who now plays at larger venues, is Bill Staines. But, you know, he used to do relatively smaller shows at the Wild Hog. And Robin and Linda Williams played at the Wild Hog before they got too famous or something. Anyway.
Let's not leave out Roxanne Neat and
right.
Art Theme
right.
and many, many more.
Larry Penn, yeah. mm-hmm. Chris
right.
Plata.
But if I can mention...
Ken Lundquist.
Yeah. Robin and Linda Williams did a show, and they said, some of you might not know where the name of your coffee house came from. And they proceeded to play this old-timey mountain tune called Wild Hog in the Woods. And
rather bloodthirsty piece.
Right.
Yeah, we're not motorcycle-related. So.
No.
And there is a wild hog in the woods. Get along, get along. There is a wild hog in the woods. Get along, I ate. And something about eat your bones and drink your blood.
He's so rather more fearsome than Philip.
But that kind of runs counter to the atmosphere at the actual coffee house. But that is the origin of the name, and I didn't know that until, thank you, Robin and Linda Williams, for explaining that and playing that song. And they recorded that song and put it on one of their
albums,
at the Wild Hog.
At the risk of adding to the folklore, and I know we have this documented somewhere, it was a case of people sitting around and having an organizational meeting and trying to figure out a name for it. And as an inspiration, just going through their album collection, and for those of you who remember what albums were, you can remember what that was like. And they were just picking out song titles or album titles and running them by people. And some of the titles went around the room two or three times, and other ones they just kind of clunked at the in the middle of the people, and they didn't talk about it anymore. And I'm pretty sure that's how the name was chosen.
That's the story I've heard.
Yeah.
Ken's in agreement in there through the window, so he's our... founder representative. And you know, David, I was hoping to have David here tonight with us, but he wasn't available to talk about the kids shows and such, because his boys and Mac's boys all kind of grew up on the Hog stage, on the folk music stage, learning how to play folk music in front of people and an audience.
I happen to know why David's not here tonight.
You do?
It's the love of music. Uh-huh. Of all things, he's rehearsing for the Madison Festival Choir tonight.
Great.
Oh, wow.
Great.
So
another fine musician, another fine Hog musician.
That's right. He's a tenor, too, so he's in hot demand.
Oh, yeah, and he can just pick harmonies out of the air. Amazing.
I'd like to have us talk a little bit now about the organization of the Wild Hog in the Woods Incorporated. We are incorporated as a nonprofit organization, but... who'd like to chime in and tell us about what basis that we're organized on?
Well, initially, it's just at this point, it's every 2 months we have a publicized meeting and invite people to attend, and we just sit down, write up an agenda, and talk through some of the behind-the-scenes stuff that goes on at the Wild Hog, and making sure that from concert to concert, month to month, we assemble volunteers, we bake the treats, we get the performers lined up, and put on a show.
Great. And what principles are we based on?
The principles of a cooperative and collective decision-making. And we attempted to be consensus decision-making. And being a nonprofit corporation, we operate on not to make a profit, but to, maintain our existence and to give people the opportunity to do the things that the other principles say we want to do.
And nonprofit means the principals or the members of the Wild Hog don't earn anything from working at the Wild Hog. It's totally volunteer operated. There's nobody that gets paid, not even the high hog, which is the figurehead president of the organization.
True. I did pick up a couple of guitar chords, however, from somebody, but
sharing.
Yes.
It's those cooperative principles, though, that were very popular back in the 70s. If you listen to the Access Hour a few weeks ago when Debbie and Kometz was on here with Ken, and Gordy Heiners was calling in from North Carolina, a member that's moved away. They also had Michelle here from the UW Extension Center for Co-ops, and they talked a lot about what cooperative principles were, how they got started here in Wisconsin. I forget which ethnic group it was, Scandinavian something or other they were talking about that came in, and they brought those principles with them. And Wisconsin was always very strong with those kind of principles back in the 60s, and there are still many cooperatives going on still in the Madison area. Willie Street Co-op is one.
Regent Market Co-op is another food co-op. There are a lot of housing co-ops.
Mm-hmm.
I lived in a housing co-op called Le Chateau, which, if I'm not mistaken, is now the Phoenix Co-op. It's on the corner of Lake and Langdon. It's still a housing co-op. But that was started back in the 70s, 1970, per se. And somebody mentioned some other, there are some other kinds of co-ops, even in places that you would not necessarily expect to be cooperatively run. So
there's a lot of agricultural co-ops and things that are much bigger than the Wild Hog ever will be. But but still, it's the same kind of basic principles. That the members are what counts. My own health organization is a cooperative, for example. So it's just, it's still going, like the hog is 30 years later. These principles are still going strong here in Wisconsin.
It would be interesting if we could envision our membership in terms of acreage. That would be an interesting concept to get around. Okay.
So again, I just kind of remind you that we are all here from the Wild Hog in the Woods Coffee House, and which is located at the Wilmar Neighborhood Center, 953 Jennifer Street, here in Madison. Concerts are Friday evenings. Check out our Wild Hog website at
www.thewildhoginthewoods.org.
And there you'll find our schedule, our calendar of events. You'll find everything else about the hog, including if you're a musician, who to call to get scheduled, or if you'd like to volunteer at the hog, who to call for that as well. Lisa.
And I was going to say that part of the cooperative principles is that we share the different roles and different responsibilities of running the coffee house. And when we were talking in the beginning about all the different positions that we've had as coordinators over the years, that's something you might want to get into too, if you're interested in running a website, for example. You want to get some more experience with that, or if you're interested in doing MC work, we're always looking for more people to join us. And as I mentioned earlier, I've met a lot of really good friends here, so it's one of the few places, again, that you can actually do that. Have people that share your interests in folk music, and you get to share all kinds of experiences.
Being the coordinator, that sounds like it came from right out of Catch 22.
Coordinator squared.
Anyway, I'm always interested in trying to recruit new volunteers, and volunteers are welcome. If you're a volunteer on a concert night, you have the option of paying the admission fee or not paying the admission fee, and we're not saying what it is, but we think it's pretty reasonable.
We try and keep it low.
Numbers forbidden here, but anyway, some of the other jobs are helping set up the admissions table and the refreshments. And sometimes we have to move furniture and then taking down at the end of the night. We all we always have to have a newsletter editor, bakers, sound, if you know how to mix sound.
Or you'd like to learn.
Yeah, or learn, correct. Yeah.
That was one of the first things I did, Jamie taught me.
We can't teach you how to bake, but... We can teach you how to run sound, right, Lisa?
Well, I think I did okay.
Yeah.
She already knew how to bake.
And bulk, help with bulk mail, or help with mailing the newsletter. And from time to time, we do put up posters. We used to do that more than we do now. And, of course... As we said, all performers are volunteers in the sense that they play for tips and fill up the pig. So that's another way you can volunteer. And I never would have learned how to run a sound system if I hadn't learned at the Wild Hog in the Woods. And I enjoy doing it. And you know, it's not necessarily something I do because it's valuable to me monetarily because I don't get paid, but I do it because I like it. And, you know, and if you like to bake, you know, and you know, help have other people enjoy your product, that's another way to do it. And there's various other ways that you can get a lot of self-fulfillment. And as Lisa said, you can meet a lot of really, really varied and interesting people, and including musicians.
And now that we're, you know, talking about all these possibilities of what you can volunteer to do when you become a member of the Coffee House, this is nearing the end of the fiscal year for the Hog, which means those members that are currently members, it's time to start thinking about renewals. The renewal form was in this current newsletter. It's also, there'll be forms at the coffee house and at the barn dance on Saturday. And for those of you that are just learning about the coffee house, come down, enjoy, you know, a Friday night, or come to the special barn dance on Saturday, and we'll have membership cards there. If you like what you experience, take one with you, join right then and there. If you really, you know, want to, you can do that too. And I'd like to just take a break here for just a moment. We have to do our commercial, or our, not our station ID, but our coffee house ID, because we are all here from the Wild Hog in the Woods. We have Lisa, Kim, and Ben, and myself, Jamie. And we are promoting our 30th anniversary, or what we call a birthday, of the coffee house. And we're located this Friday evening with our special 30th birthday concert coming up, and that'll be at 953 Jennifer Street, if I get the street name right again. And Saturday we're having a special barn dance, and that will be at the Grace Episcopal Church at West Washington in the Square. And all the times for this is available on our website, which is at Lisa,
www.wildhoginthewoods.org.
Great. We're taking turns on that URL. It's a test to make sure we all remember it, right? I'd also like to just mention here that the music that you hear playing in the background on our program here this evening is called Happy Birthday Ramifications, and it's performed by WORT's own John Fapke and David Fellow, which also happened to be longtime aficionados of the Wild Hog in the Woods Coffee House. So thank you to John and Fapke and Dave Fallow for letting us play your music here in the background this evening. Kind of give it a little bit of a folky birthday melody there in our background.
And that's another illustration of the interesting community connections that you can make at the Wild Hog with people from other groups and other organizations. I'm always amazed at the reinforcement individually, and maybe Lisa and Kim can speak, and Jamie to other connections, but this last couple of weeks of real strong connections that are continuing and have continued for the last at least 20 years that I've been around of between WORT and the Wild Hog. There are a lot of people who I don't know if they pick up music and then they come to broadcasting, or they come to broadcasting first and then they pick up music. It doesn't matter. But there are there are some really strong interconnections between the two organizations, and there might be some other organization connections that other people might be aware of, but that one comes strongly to mind.
Chris Powers.
Correct.
Has played at the Hog many a time. Ken, of course, and Bill Malone and Bobby Malone have been at the Hog. Who am I missing? Uh-huh. Sure there's... Oh, John.
John. Yes,
John Fabke, of course. And... you know, Dave Fallow, although he doesn't actually run a program here, often appears, I believe, with a bird watching report of some sort.
Right. He calls up, or John Fabke calls him on Tuesday morning, or he calls John Fabke, and most of the time it's an update on birds in Madison area and surrounding area. And he also does dragonflies and butterflies in season.
Cool. Whoa, hey, I didn't know that.
Right. And Dave Fallow is an excellent musician.
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, you know, these three morning folk hosts, that is John Fabke on Tuesday and Bill Malone on Wednesday and Chris Powers on Friday, right on WORT 89.9 FM on your dial. Also... are kind enough to host musicians who are going to play the following Friday.
At the Hog.
Or the same Friday, if it's Chris, at the Wild Hog. And it's nice for the musicians, it's nice for the Wild Hog, because it does have a tendency to increase crowds. But I think they hear the music on the radio first, and they can decide whether they like it or not.
It's people a preview. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, there are other folk venues in Madison. We won't plug any of them as a competition.
Oh, we're all friendly, though.
We are.
But, you know, in deciding whom do you want to go here, play, et cetera, it's kind of nice to have an idea, you know, a reason to do it. And
mm-hmm. In fact, our website lists many of the other venues.
Yes.
That you can go, and what days they have music and so forth.
Right. And I think that, reasons to come down, you know, to the Wild Hog are mainly the music. And so getting the word out, we used to do posters. We're online now. We have a mailed newsletter. Musicians, you know, spread the word amongst them, friends and family, and sometimes those people, maybe they're down at the Wild Hog for the first time because a relative is playing, or a friend, and once they find out what the atmosphere is like, a lot of people want to come back to hear other people play.
Mm-hmm. And that's what we're hoping that tonight's show and any opportunity this weekend, if you're curious or not, we're hoping to maintain that kind of energy and keep it going, that people who are either coming back or are still here, and it's a birthday celebration, we're also looking ahead, and we certainly invite anybody to come and join us on that adventure and share that energy and help keep the home fires burning, to sort of coin a phrase.
Yeah, if you have questions while you're there, ask any of the members that are there. And introduce yourself if you are up to it, or if you want to be anonymous, you can stay anonymous, too.
And I don't know if I speak for everybody, but I think we have a pretty broad concept of what folk music is. I mean, mm-hmm. Lisa mentioned train song nights. We've had gospel song nights in the past.
Woody
Halloween.
Yeah.
There's a proposal for a haunted song night or a ghost song night.
No, we've had them.
Oh, we have had them.
Oh,
okay.
Just not this last Friday, because it was right on Halloween. Yeah. So,
there have been tributes to Woody Guthrie. I'm hoping somebody, and I'm expecting somebody to put one together in memory of Utah Phillips in the near future. And if you're out there and you're thinking of doing it, get a hold of our booking agent, Ramona Johannes, because I want to be there when that show is put on.
And I just want to put in a plug for Ramona.
Yes.
Thank you, Ramona, for doing the musician booking job for such a long time and so very well, and she's one of our extremely dedicated volunteers.
Primarily and generally, the definition of the folk music at the Wild Hog is the only, we're acoustic, and that covers a lot of ground. And I have heard keyboardists, jazz musicians, blues, gospel.
The occasional folk, electric guitar.
Electric guitar. I've heard...
Or bass, well, electric bass.
Yep, true.
The electric stand-up bass, it just has strings. It's just an amazing instrument. And then I've heard 12 to 15 people around a single mic sing 4 to 6 part harmonies. And then I've heard groups of 3 people get up there and sing. It's just an amazing space.
We've had a sitar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Saw. Somebody yes. played the saw.
Yeah.
Right. I can't remember. There was a hurdy-gurdy once, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yep. Banjos, mandolins,
dulcimers,
all kinds of
both
things.
Lap-in,
yep.
Hammered. And
right.
Jew's harp.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bowed psaltery.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, everything from what's called traditional folk that's been in the public domain for years and centuries sometimes to more contemporary stuff. I know one of the groups coming in the early 2009 has named themselves Dangerous Folk, and they said when they contacted Ramona, they said, "We're not afraid to play 60s folk." Whatever that means.
Ray. Show my age now.
Yeah.
That's always a challenge because, you know, the old joke is if you remember the 60s, you weren't there. So I don't know if I'm going to know what 60s folk is or not. Look forward to the experience, though. I'd also like to mention at this point that we talked about the events coming up on the 7th and 8th, this coming weekend, the special birthday event coming up on the 21st. But the weekend between, we have on the 14th, it's
Luther
the Jet, a.k.a. Luther Jet. And he's a hobo storyteller, train writer, singer, songwriter. So that's going to be a special event that night. It's our regular show, but I think it'll be a special night as well.
Mm-hmm. And Lisa has our newsletter. If you could quickly flip to the schedule and you could just kind of read off who's playing in December.
It's
a larger than usual
newsletter. Okay, let's see here. In December, okay. Oh, on the 5th, we have Lil Rev, who is Mark Revinson from Milwaukee. I know he plays mandolin and guitar.
Ukulele.
Yes, ukulele.
And harmonica.
Yes, yeah.
He's an ace harmonica player.
Oh, I hate to be the sound operator that night.
And on the 12th, we have Erin O'Brien and Doug Brown.
Erin is a singer-songwriter, and she's been writing some lake and river songs. And she works for the Wisconsin Wetlands Association, so it all kind of fits together. And Doug Brown is a fine musician who's probably pretty well-known around Madison.
Then on the 19th, we have 50% Folk, who I have not heard of. You will
There's
have to...
a couple pages back as
Oh, I remember the blurb on this.
Okay, you, Kim,
I wrote the blurb. I wrote the blurb for the newsletter. There were there's 5 members.
Tanya, yeah. Barb, Wayne, Sylvia. No, wait, that's Ian and Sylvia. let's see here. Mark and Dean.
Right. And the first 3, Tanya, Barb, and Wayne... when they were in high school, they played music together, and they all met again at their 40th high school reunion, and they found out that I guess they don't live too far apart from each other, so they got back together, and then they added the other 2 guys, and
was that cool?
And
maybe there is a reason to go to those things.
And you have to come to the concert to find out why they're called 50% Folk. I mean, we have to have something yet another reason to get you there, curiosity, right?
Yeah,
right,
but right, I can tell you that there's guitar, mandolin, banjo, washtub bass, And probably other things as well.
And I think four of them sing. It, you know, they rarely ever let the bass player sing. What is that? That's you know, isn't that one of the most...
They probably went tone deaf.
No, that's the banjo player.
Okay.
But that's one of the big questions in folk music. How, you know, why don't more bass players sing?
It's one of those... I don't know, those legendary, mythical questions.
It's like a drummer in a rock band or something, because they never sing hardly. So.
Right. There, and, of course, there are exceptions to every rule like that. So.
Of course.
Who else do you have on your in the schedule there, Lisa?
Hey, there's two people mentioned already for January somewhere in that massive newsletter.
Ah! Skip Jones.
Yay!
In January, huh?
Yeah, and Tom Castle.
Right.
And if I remember right, doesn't Tom do sea shanty type songs?
That is correct.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, he was trying to remember the name of that album. Oh, God, now I did it. I'm showing my age. I said album.
You mean...
Oh, no.
You remember vinyl?
I do.
Wow.
Sorry, isn't it?
Far out, man.
33 RPM.
Yeah. And the 78s, too.
Skip Jones, he lives up in Bowler, Wisconsin, near Shawano, and he knew Utah Phillips pretty well. And back earlier this year, he hosted a benefit for Utah Phillips. Utah was still living, and it was at the Barrymore, and Skip was the MC. And he had a telephone call from Utah piped into the Barrymore.
Oh, wow.
And
cool.
And Skip actually showed up to just sit down and listen to music a few weeks ago. And it was in September, we had a concert where five people who've played at the Hog over the years got together all in one big show. And a couple of those performers said, well, why don't you ask Skip if he wants to do a number? And Skip graciously declined it. He said, no, the music is fine. You know, you've got plenty of good music here already. So he's just a very nice guy, not a grandstander or anything like that. So
you remember when Utah Phillips came to the Hog with the, I think it was the Sing Out board, wasn't it? I don't remember what year that was, but
it was at the Brook Street Y, right. So that narrows it down.
We had a we had a spaghetti dinner for the members of the Sing Out board, and Pete Seeger was there, and Utah Phillips, and yikes, you're going to have to tell me about the other luminaries that were part of that. But I remember talking to Utah Phillips. I was sitting next to him, and I'd just come from work, so I had my pruners in my back pocket. I'm a horticulturist. And Utah started telling me all about Master Gardener program where he lived in
Nevada
Arizona.
City, California.
Yeah, and he was talking about community gardens and so on. It was like, wow, I had not expected that from Utah Phillips. And I really had a good time talking to him. But just goes to show all the other interesting things that occasionally happen at the Hog.
And you've heard... Lisa and Kim and myself and Jamie drop names about performers that have appeared there, and we'd also again like to remind folks out there to take an opportunity to come down to the Hog and listen and participate at whatever level you want to, and help us create or discover new names to talk about. I've got a list here, but I won't go through it. Rather than that, I'm going to talk about the names of the folks that are going to be performing or calling at this Saturday's barn dance at Grace Episcopal Church at the West Washington Street in the Square from 7 to 11 p.m. We've got James Sokolsky, Mike Mossman, Bill Miller, and bands.
And they're doing the calling.
They're doing the calling, and the bands playing the music are Bygone Days, Rattle Tap, Haywired, and short sets by additional local performers, i.e.,
I haven't heard who those are yet.
I think one of them is Mike Bell, but I could be dropping names here.
Yeah,
he performed at the Hog a couple weeks ago.
We'll have to encourage Deb to call us sometime and let us know, so that it's not a total surprise on Saturday. And I'd like to mention that, you know, you don't have to be an expert barn dancer to come to this barn dance, because ever since the beginning, all coffee house barn dances, all Wild Hog barn dances, every dance is taught. The musicians kind of turn off their mics and let them practice their next song while the caller comes out onto the floor and teaches the next dance. So you don't have to know how to do a square dance or a line dance or contra or whatever the next dance is going to be. You learn it right then and there. And that's just an excellent part of coming to a Wild Hog barn dance. You don't need the fancy clothes. The big skirts with the underskirts and everything, and I don't know what the guys wear, but
Western
in the cloth shoes and all that. Yeah, the Western wear. You just need to come in blue jeans or whatever's comfortable for you, and some good sneakers or something to dance around in.
I think some of our members learn to call.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. At Wild is Karen. Karen Gogolik, I believe, mm-hmm. is one
and
of
Jane
those.
And Jane Sikowski, who's calling this Saturday as well, for just to name a couple.
Yeah, and Karen, along with her group with Ranger Rick, now goes by KG and the Ranger, and they do Western music, which is separate from country music, mm-hmm. but Western music has to do with horses and sagebrush and more horses.
And stirring your coffee with your thumb in
a
single hand.
Yeah, that's, although loggers do that
too. Loggers do that, yeah.
But they occasionally grace the hog stage with some wonderful props like Slim Prickens the Cactus, and they sing wonderful Western harmony. And Ben hasn't even mentioned that he's part of a duo called the Dust Bunnies. Now there's a good one for how did you come up with that name? Occasionally plays at the Hog, too.
And one thing about that I want to share about KG and the Ranger is that I may be getting them in trouble. I'm not sure if they do, but I know that somebody else does that plays the same kind of Western music. Stephen Lee Rich, he will teach you yodeling on those nights when he performs. So I'm not sure if KG take that opportunity or not. But
I've been at a workshop where they
did. You can not only, you know, as we talked about before, do the baking or taking tickets or doing MC backstage stuff as well as onstage stuff at MC as MCing, but you can also learn how to yodel.
And, you know, we have this open mic between sets, and sometimes people read poems.
Storytelling.
What does Frank Simpson, he's one of our longtime members, a fine musician, a great guitarist, and has a wonderful voice, but he always reads, likes to read something by that Alaskan...
Robert Service.
Yes.
The Burial of Sam McGee,
is
that it? The Cremation of Sam McGee, yes, he likes to read that one.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, we have a broad definition of what you can do at open mic, too.
Do a dance?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Make faces if you want to.
We don't guarantee anybody.
During open mic, we don't care.
I know a friend of mine that's done that, but I won't mention her name.
Okay.
She has played the Gandhi Dancer. That's that wooden dancer on the paddle. She mm-hmm. has played that while she's performed. So.
Yeah. You know, I mean, there's always a danger that since you know, we're very open to new musicians and all that, that someone might get up there and be the star of the future, too.
Mm-hmm. And what a wonderful danger that is. In fact, I think we've already found one of those, Mason Taylor. I think we're going to see a lot more of her.
Well, we're coming down to our last 4 or 5 minutes here. And so before we totally run out of time, because we've got a lot to talk about, I do want to make sure that... we recognize the audience members. Without them, there'd be no reason to have a coffee house with folk music. So it's very important to the existence of the coffee house these past 30 years, as well as the members and the volunteers that have given all their time and skills and energy to doing various things, from sound operations to baking to running the admission door, to buying juices and other supplies and coffees and so forth.
Newsletter editor, position booker, poster maker, poster hanger.
The list goes on.
Yeah.
So we're, you know, as members of the coffee house, of the organization of the Wild Hog in the Woods, we're all very thankful for each other, for all the work that everyone does. And that's it's very important to, for the existence of the coffee house. So again, if you're looking for something, if you got some extra time and you're looking for something to do, come on down, volunteer. There's always more things that we can share with other people. We like to, share the fun.
So, Jamie, you're saying we don't have time to debate what is folk music tonight?
No, we don't. We'll
but
have
we
to
should
leave.
Put our we'll website out there.
We'll leave that to the other
folks. I'm signing
folk
up
shows.
For Access Hour, and it's going to be an hour of
there you go.
What is folk music?
Do it on a Monday night so you have Ken operating for you. And we would like to thank Ken Rainier for organizing these three Monday nights that we've been here for the Wild Hog in the Woods in the past couple of months. And Ken used to run the Wild Hog in the Woods folk music show here on WRT a few years back, for many years, where, again, the musicians would come in and they were going to be playing that weekend and perform and so forth. So but why don't we just do another round robin of what's happening and where we're located and what our web address is. And Ben, you want to start with what's happening on Friday night?
Friday night we have a special concert featuring Peter and Lou Berryman, Ken Lundquist, and Jim Schwall starting at 7:30.
Great. And what time does that start again?
7:30.
Okay,
Friday
so at the Wilmar,
yeah,
Neighborhood
Wilmar
Center. Okay, in case you didn't catch that,
yes.
Folks. Why don't you just pass that on around and someone can get to the poster for the barn dance. And while you're doing that, Kim, I'll just mention the fact that we're having a brunch on Saturday at 11 a.m. at Sardine Restaurant. That's on Machinery Row, and that's on Willie Street at the beginning of Willie Street on the western end of Williamson Street.
Right across from Gateway Mall.
Mm-hmm.
And that starts at 11 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
That's correct. And that restaurant faces Lake Monona.
Right.
Saturday night, the barn dance will be at Grace
Episcopal yeah.
Church on the corner of West Washington Square in the hall. And it starts at 7 and runs till about 11. And the bands are some bands that have gotten back together and some newer ones, I guess. Bygone Days, Rattle Trap, Haywired, and additional local performers. Callers, Jane Sikulski, Mike Mossman, and Bill Miller.
And all dances are taught.
Right.
That's wonderful. And what's coming up on the 21st, Lisa? And she's going to flip to the page there.
Yep.
We have so much going on this month, we don't have it all memorized.
It's hard to find it all. Okay, and on the 21st, it's our birthday party. And Philip will be turning 30. We're going to have birthday cake and a music jam and sing-along. And we'd like to invite you to bring your favorite hot or cold dish to share. Free admission. And that'll again be at the Coffee House at the Wilmar Center, 953 Jennifer Street. And again, there's lots of parking.
And that's a special start time, too.
Yes, it is. You're right. It's 6:30 for the birthday party.
Yeah, don't bring desserts to the potluck because we're going to have birthday cake there.
Right, right.
Okay, and then our website, once again, if you did get it written down before.
I think it's my turn.
Yes, okay.
www.wildhoginthewoods.org. And Wild Hog in the Woods is all one word.
But
not in your dictionary. And I wanted to thank Jamie for her technical expertise in the area of sound engineering that she has graciously donated to the Wild Hog over the years.
And for organizing us to come tonight and talk to you about our memories of the hog.
And helping to organize the birthday in general.
Having been a newsletter editor for many years.
Well, as chair of the 30th birthday committee, I'd like to thank all those that are on it. And there's too many of them to mention, but two are here right now in the way of Kim and Ben. So thank you, and we'll pass
You're
that
welcome.
On to everyone else as well. And yes, Ken's here too. He's on the committee. Sorry, Ken, for almost forgot you. So as we sign off here, I'm Jamie Poindexter.